It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, December 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. Lisa Morales-Campbell pled guilty Wednesday in district court to theft for stealing cash from the community dental clinic. The Montrose-based nonprofit alleges that Morales-Campbell stole over $170,000 over the course of several years. The court ordered her to pay back the clinic $25,000, about 15% of the alleged theft. This is Sherry McKenzie with the district attorney's office.
We confer with the victims to find out whether or not that was acceptable to them in this particular case, because it's been going on since 2012, and they were agreeable to that amount.
McKenzie said that the difficulty in collecting any of the stolen money is comparable to the Chesnick embezzlement in Paonia. This case involves the theft of cash receipts, and the DA's office urges organizations to make sure they have the proper accounting controls to prevent theft. The U.S. Forest Service will be holding an open house in Paonia next Monday. This is Lawrence Lujan with the U.S. Forest Service.
We're hosting an open house for the release of the supplemental draft environmental impact statement for the Colorado Roadless Rule Supplement.
That's quite a mouthful, but it's all about the roadless rule and coal mining. Colorado has a rule that no mining that would disturb the surface can happen in roadless areas, but there was an exception for the North Fork area. That exception was challenged in court and recently sent back to the drawing board because the Forest Service failed to factor in climate change. Now they've come back with a revised environmental impact statement that factors it in.
So during the open houses, we'll have two, one in Paonia on Monday and one on Wednesday in Denver. Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management staff will be available to answer questions. It's going to be an open house. There will be no formal discussions or presentations or hearings, so participants can drop by at their convenience and fully participate between the hours of 5:30 p.m. And 7 p.m. The environmental document is available for review and comment online on our Forest Service website.
Lujan stresses that anyone with special needs should contact his office before the open house. Colorado's Department of Transportation is implementing some policies on the I-70 corridor this winter. Jake Ryan talked with Amy Ford of CDOT about the efforts to ease congestion and accidents.
Winter's here, and the snows have already come, and the traction law, if I remember right, was already on the books, but is now being more readily enforced this year. How is that going?
You know, it's going quite well. We have put the traction law into place 66 times year to date. So that's really here over the months of October and November. And we're seeing folks really respond to the need to have good tires and good equipment before they're driving the corridor. And the traction law just puts a fine point on that. And what we're doing in working with Colorado State Patrol is they have the opportunity to do the fine, but they also have the opportunity to use that as a good education and a warning for some people. So they've been focused a little bit more on that, which we actually very much support, to let people give them some time here early in the winter to get used to the fact that this is something that's really in place now.
All right. And how's the extra lane on I-70 eastbound coming along?
You know, we are planning to open right now, weather permitting, on the 12th of December with that lane. And really what it is, an extra shoulder lane. So it will be turned on during peak hours, eastbound from about Empire all the way through Idaho Springs. And you'll pay a toll to use the lane. And when it's not in use, it'll revert to back to being a shoulder.
Sounds like a lot is going on this winter.
You know, there's a lot going on in the I-70 Mountain Corridor, but frankly, a lot needs to go on the I-70 Mountain Corridor. Make sure that we can ease people's drives as much as we can.
That was CDOT's Amy Ford talking about the changes to the I-70 corridor this winter. The Ute Indian Museum in Montrose launched its expansion with a groundbreaking ceremony Wednesday. KVNF's Lara Pomasano has more.
After nearly 60 years, the Ute Indian Museum is getting a makeover. The expansion will nearly double its space, adding additional capacity for events, exhibits, and programs. In 2013, the state of Colorado approved $2.4 million to renovate the facility. C.J. Bradford, the museum's director, says when it opened in 1956, the three Ute tribes didn't have any input.
That's what's significant about now, because we are working with the tribes through consultation, asking them what they want. It's through their voices, through their eyes, through their perception of who they are as people, their history. And that's what's be something unique about this expansion is that it's not focused on just one of the Ute tribes. It's all three tribes as one.
The Ute Indian Museum is set to reopen in the fall of 2016. People can still see select exhibit materials and access the museum's temporary store and office at the Montrose Visitor Center. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
The process of writing the annual state budget has already begun ahead of next year's legislative session. As Benta Berkland reports, state lawmakers are currently getting briefed on the budget's needs.
State agencies are answering questions from lawmakers serving on the bipartisan Joint Budget Committee about their requests for funding. The budget committee crafts the annual bill, and passing a balanced budget is the only thing state lawmakers are constitutionally required to do during their four-month session. This week, the committee has heard from the Public Health and Environment Department, among others. Next week, Human Services, the Department of Revenue, and Department of Public Safety will make their pitches to the committee. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.